Good morning. I'm Commissioner Deanna Keller, Port Atacama President, calling to order a special meeting of the Port Atacama Commission on 5/4/2023. The time is now 10 a.m. Also present are Commissioners Eng, McCarthy, Marzano, and Meyer, so we have a quorum. Our meeting is being held at the Fabulich Center and is being streamed live on the meeting page of the Port of Tacoma's website at www.portoftacoma.com. The Commission will now recess into an OPMA-exempt closed special order of business to discuss a labor collective bargaining agreement until 10:30 a.m. The Commission will then recess into an executive session until 11:40 a.m. to discuss one property leasing item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub C, and three potential litigation items, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I. Now I'll turn this over to Executive Director Eric Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director, Port of Tacoma. The factors that are allowed to be discussed during executive session that relate to real estate leasing are as follows: the size and zoning of the property, the distance from and connectivity to deepwater marine terminals, the potential for job creation, and the consistency with the port's strategic plan. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Good afternoon. This is Commission President Deanna Keller. The time is now 12:04 p.m. We were in executive session from 10:30 to 11:59 to discuss one property leasing item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub C, and three potential litigation items, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I. Let's all begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would also like to acknowledge that we are meeting on the shores of the Salish Sea and reside on the ancestral lands of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. We're on approval of the agenda. Our next item is to approve today's agenda. Is there anyone who would like to make a change to our posted agenda? Seeing none, no hands, today's agenda stands as posted. Next, we have the Executive Director's Report, and I'll call on Executive Director Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director. Just a couple of quick items that I'm going to mention. One is one that I think you'll hear about later during committee reports, but the port, two of the commissioners and I had a consultation with the Puyallup Tribe on the 26th, but we discussed a number of items of concern or of interest to both parties, and you'll hear about that, I think, a little bit later. The second item is that we have a bunch of guests at the port this week from Lincoln High School. Students from Lincoln High School are there's a very organized group of folks who are touring the port, learning about the port from Lincoln High School, and it's been exciting to see them around the terminals and around the port offices. The third item is that we are working with the city of Fife to implement the homelessness policy that you directed us to, the ILA, for helping with their work and housing program. That is in process with the city of Fife, and you'll be hearing more about that as we proceed, but I want to let you know we're making progress in that space. And then finally, I'll close by noting that one of our tenants received an award yesterday, the Youth Marine Foundation, which is one of our tenants on the Theophos Waterway, received the Golden Shovel Award from the EDB for the wonderful new boat that they brought in this last year, the Doolin Rogers, which is a tremendous opportunity that the Youth Marine Foundation received to pick up a world-class classroom vessel for teaching the Sea Scouts and other students in the community about maritime operations and opportunities on the waterfront. And that's a group that I know we support, and I just want to let you know that they were recognized with that program, and that's just been an exciting thing to watch. And that's the end of my report.
Great, thank you very much. We're now at public comment. We'll now invite public comment. As a reminder, comment time is limited to 3 minutes per person. Clerk, do we have anyone signed up?
We do not.
Thank you. Is there anyone present who would like to participate in public comment at this time? Okay, well, this concludes the public comment portion of our meeting. This is at Number five, our consent agenda. Items on the consent are considered routine and taken up by one motion and vote unless any commissioner requests an item be removed for individual consideration. The consent agenda consists of approval of the minutes, April 11th, 2023, and April 14th, 2023. Are there any requests to remove items from the consent agenda? Seeing none, I now need a motion to approve and a second. So Commissioner Meyer, was that your motion? Okay, and then Commissioner Marzano was the second. Are there any questions, comments, or amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 And I also say aye. And then any nays? Thank you. Motion passes. Before we proceed on to commission actions, I'd like to mention a few housekeeping items. Please hold questions at the end of staff presentations until we get a motion and a second. And after that, we'll have comments and conversations. Please limit yourself to one question. Please wait until you're recognized by the chair before speaking. And thank you for your consideration. So we're now at the action item part of the agenda. So we'd like to start out with Proclamation 2023-03-PT, Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, and I'd like to call on Commissioner Ng.
Well, a happy Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, you all. Our proclamation reads, whereas Asian American and Pacific Islander heritage in the United States was celebrated beginning in 1978 and was made into a month-long event in 1992, and whereas the month of May was chosen as Asian Pacific American Heritage Month to commemorate the immigration of the first Japanese citizen, Nakahama Manjiro, to the United States on May 7, 1843, but also the anniversary of the May 10, 1869 completion of the first transcontinental railroad, built with the backbreaking labor of nearly 20,000 Chinese immigrants. And whereas we celebrate the achievements and contributions of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders that enrich our history, society, and culture, we must also acknowledge a darker aspect of the AAPI experience in America. Structural discrimination, prejudice, and injustice that most recently manifested itself in racist attacks on Asian Americans related to the COVID-19 pandemic. And whereas Asian American and Pacific Islanders have distinguished themselves as leading researchers in science, medicine, and technology, innovative farmers and ranchers, distinguished lawyers, judges, and government leaders in the arts, literature, and sports, as war heroes who defended our country from fascism and peacetime healthcare heroes currently on the front lines of the pandemic. And whereas 8% of the population residing in the Port of Tacoma Port District are of Asian American or Pacific Island descent, and whereas today more than 20 million Asian American and Pacific Islanders live in the United States, and through their actions make America a more vibrant, prosperous, and secure nation, and now therefore the Port of Tacoma recognizes May 2023 as Asian Pacific American Heritage Month and calls upon the people of Pierce County to recognize the achievement and many contributions of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders to our community, our nation, and our world.
Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to call for a motion and a second.
Second.
Commissioner Meyer moved and Commissioner McCarthy seconded. Any questions, comments, or amendments? Go ahead. Any questions, comments? I, for one, I'm very proud to be serving on this commission with Commissioner Ng, and happy Asian Pacific Islander Month.
Thank you.
Yeah. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? There are none. Passes unanimously. The next one is our 2023 LEADIF Awards, Local Economic Development Infrastructure Fund Awards. I'd like to, before I call on Leslie Barstow to deliver this, I want to thank Commissioner McCarthy and also Commissioner Ng for serving on this committee.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Leslie Barstow, Community Relations Manager for the Port of Tacoma. As you are aware, the state law grants public ports a variety of powers to bring economic development to their communities. At the Port of Tacoma, economic development occurs in direct ways, such as through the development of publicly owned marine terminals, rail systems, and industrial parks, as well as in, sorry, I'll move this a little bit, indirect ways, such as through the local economic development policy, which authorizes us to make investments through registered nonprofit organizations and that seek to promote Washington State-based international trade, tourism, or infrastructure projects throughout Pierce County. Those investments are made through two programs, the Local Economic Development Investment Fund or the Local Economic Development Infrastructure Investment Fund. These programs are matching programs designed to assist nonprofit organizations or municipal agencies in Pierce County with eligible economic development projects. I am here today to request authorization for the executive director or his designee to execute interlocal agreements with the City of Gig Harbor, the City of Puyallup, Pierce County Parks, and Tacoma Metro Parks, and to fund investments to 8 Pierce County nonprofit organizations at the following amounts from the Local Economic Development Investment Fund for a total authorized amount of $250,000. On December 30th, 2022, the Port of Tacoma issued a request for proposals. 23 applications were received. A review committee composed of Commissioner John McCarthy, Commissioner Kristen Ang, myself, Darren Arakaki, the Port's, just forgot his title all of a sudden here, auditor, and Matt Maurer, our local government affairs director, reviewed the proposals. The committee recommendations are to make investments in 12 projects listed on this and the next slide. These recommendations total $250,000, which is the amount budgeted for the Local Economic Development Investment Fund in the Port of Tacoma's non-operating budget. I would like to note that the committee has recommended conditions on those investments for two projects for 2023. The first, I'm actually going to back the slide up because they both are on the previous slide. The first is for the $10,000 investment for the Harbor Wild Watch Marine Life Center. That is to be used for their printing, exhibit, signage, planning, and advertising needs rather than for staff expenses. And the second is for the $150,000 investment for the City of Gig Harbor Fisherman's Annot Home Port Dock. It has a commission, the committee is recommending a condition of transient mooring be allowed on that dock. You have all been out to see that project and met with the fishermen, the mayor, the city officials, but it was quite a while ago. And when the fishermen first suggested transient mooring there, the idea was they would be gone every summer when they go to Alaska to go fishing. And so it seemed like it would just sit there empty. So we all thought that was a good idea. And a way that the city could help pay for the dock. At the time the committee made this recommendation, we also were not aware what the City of Gig Harbor's thoughts on that might be, because it's been quite a while since this project started. So I'd like to call Matt Maurer, the Port of Tacoma's local government affairs director, up. He just spoke to the city this last Monday and got some of their thoughts on that piece of the project.
Yeah, thanks, Leslie. For the record, Matthew Maurer, local government affairs for the port. We did make contact with the city to float the idea just to make sure there would be no issues, and they did come back to us on Monday expressing some concern with having that stipulation on the award, and expressed a lack of support both on the staff side and on the elected side for allowing transient moorage for various reasons. One of which security and the neighboring single-family homes next to it didn't want the transient moorage. That's one, and the other is safety in regards to the human-powered dock or ramp that's right next to what will be this new pier. And so they felt that the professional mariners would be able to avoid just fine all the kayaks, but were worried about when you mix kayaks and human-powered vessels with your everyday boater. And so that is the concern expressed by the city.
So in total financial summary, just so you know how we are meeting the budget, the funding of $250,000 again is budgeted in this fund from the non-operating budget. So again, the committee is recommending spending the entire $250,000 for these 12 projects this year. So in conclusion, unless you direct me otherwise, I'm here today to request approval for the slate of the committee's recommended projects for 2023, the Local Economic Development Investment Fund investments, to direct the executive director or his designee to execute interlocal agreements with the City of Gig Harbor, City of Puyallup, Pierce County Parks, Tacoma Metro Parks, and then to fund investments into 8 Pierce County nonprofit organizations totaling $250,000.
Great, thank you. So at this,
could I ask a point of clarification?
Yes, sure.
Point of clarification. On your motion, what you're asking for is approval of the $250,000 by the listing there, but with one condition for the, what was it, the Harbor Wildwatch?
With two conditions as it's proposed now. So one is that the Gig Harbor have the condition for transient moorage, and that for the Harbor Wild Watch, that they can only use the funds for the advertising and marketing, not for staff time.
So just your motion then does include that restriction for transient
yes,
moorage?
Yes, you'd have to amend my proposal in order to take that out.
I just want a clarification in terms of what the motion included, that's all. Because I'd like to support this, but I'm not certain I want the transient mortgage limitation in there.
Why don't we, if you want to, we'll do a motion in a second,
okay.
and then create an amendment.
Then we can deal, okay.
If that's all right with all of you.
Sure, okay. That's okay.
Okay, so I need a motion and a second.
A motion.
Commissioner?
Motion to remove the transient mortgage requirement for the Ansage dock.
So just a point of order, we're going to have to approve this,
do
a motion and a second here, and then we'll go into discussions and then create
Am I doing that right, Heather? I just want to make sure we're following, we're doing it right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So.
I so move we approve it as has been described.
Thank you. Commissioner McCarthy has moved this. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Commissioner Ng. Okay, are there any discussions or amendments? Commissioner McCarthy.
Maybe I can spend a few minutes to talk about this and that particular issue. First of all, let me thank Leslie for her hard work in putting this together and interacting with all these folks. This is the size of the folder that we got when we reviewed 23 applications. And so appreciate her work. Darren Arkaki, who keeps us in line with the law and keeps us in line with what our policy is. Matt Maurer for joining our committee. A couple things we learned this year, just by way of comment. One, we had no applications for freight mobility projects, no applications for industrial or manufacturing type projects, and none for rail or road infrastructure. So we really were short this year on those types of projects, which in the past we've identified that we wanted to donate more for. So we're not quite sure why. We've got some speculation, but just to let you know, we didn't get much there. The other thing I think we learned in our discussion is that a lot of the proposals were from organizations that were really seeking sponsorships of their event, as opposed to local economic type projects that are gonna attract people from outside the region or think tourists and things of that sort. So we've kind of decided that we need to have a discussion, you know, after this is approved for next year in terms of sponsorships, and should we be a little clearer? Should we increase the budget, for example, that's currently allocated for distribution by staff for sponsorships, and I think that's about $84,000 a year. But a lot of these applications seem to fit in the sponsorship category. On the Gig Harbor issue, we think that that's a fantastic project. We've been very supportive, the port's been very supportive of Gig Harbor. We really like this project. The concern that we have, and the reason we put the condition, is that we want to make sure if we're helping to invest in this dock, that it's not just for use by a small group of people. For example, the fishing boat owners, but because it's public funds and we're countywide organization, so we want to make sure there's access to the dock. I think the question I asked Matt to check was, I do know this, even if transient moorage is not allowed when the fishing boats aren't there, my question for Matt was to check and verify that there is access to the public at other times when the boats are there, and how often that might be, so that there is public access to this. And Matt, did you get an opportunity to look at that?
I did. So there's a couple aspects there. One, a part of the whole project is a park, and there will be a viewing area on top of that boathouse that you'll be able to see at 24/7. Additionally, they do not have any plans right now to put a lock on the gangway, and public will have access to the actual pier itself. They did, however, reserve the right to put a lock on the gangway if security issues arise. But for right now, the plan is to have public access throughout the entire project.
And I think that helps with our concern to make sure that there was public access there. Thank you.
Definitely. Yep.
Any other comments?
Can I have a, I want to be really clear here. So if I wanted to go fishing, the theory is I could go, you know, assuming it's
yes.
There you go. Closer. Okay. Transient moorage is only one element of public access. Public access can be simply, I just want to go fishing. And so I'm assuming that's allowed.
Unclear whether or not you'd actually be able to fish off the pier. I'm assuming when the fishing vessels are gone in the summer and it's wide open and people have access to it, I don't know why they would stop that, but I haven't asked that specific question, whether or not you can fish off the pier.
I guess with the condition of transient moorage only, because my interest is public access.
Yeah.
I'll always have public access. So instead of saying transient moorage only for water access, so that doesn't necessarily... That's not necessarily my priority. It's the public access, whether it's water enjoyment or viewing. So at this stage, we now have a motion in front of us that basically limits it to transient moorage.
Their application does refer to it being open to public access and tourism. So that implies that the dock is open to public access. I don't know what hours, if it's 24 hours a day or if it's sun up to sundown. For what usage, we don't know, but it does state public access.
So I would like to make a motion that we modify that to what was the language you just said?
It mentions public access and tourism.
Okay. That's what I would like to modify that condition to.
So it sounds like you'd like to make an amendment to include public
access. I am proposing
an
amendment to the main motion, picking up that very language out of their proposal. It's all about public access, whether it's transient moorage or whatever. I don't want to be focused only exclusively on that.
So you're talking pedestrian access.
Well, it's public access.
Yeah.
Whether it's pedestrian or a tourist or whomever. All I'm saying is I think that's a broader... and it meets my criteria for water enjoyment as well as just simply to go fishing.
So this amendment is specifically for the City of Gig Harbor's project, that we include, your amendment says public access.
It would strike the condition of transient moorage only.
Okay, and would strike the condition of transient moorage. So I need a...
I'll second that motion.
Commissioner Meyer moved that, and then also Commissioner McCarthy seconded it. So any discussions about that amendment?
I support that thank you. Yeah. I support that language, but I will tell you, even though Matt or Leslie's reflected what the city has said, I've talked to people over in Gig Harbor, even those that are involved in some of the other docks over there, and there's a lot of folks there that think the city needs to be a little bit more open and open this up for transient moorage. And I talked to actually one person that was kind of hopeful through our process that we could get the city to consider that, because there's a need for transient moorage by those that use the docks there.
Thank you. I also serve on the city's Chamber of Commerce's Economic Development Board, and they feel that the city of Gig Harbor is losing a lot of businesses and tourism. I think this transient moorage and public access will help spur that on. It will be better economically in general for Gig Harbor. So I think that that's good that we're adding that.
Good.
Yes, Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just very quickly, I support the motion with the amendment in place, and I agree. I would think Gig Harbor, after a certain time, would probably get information from the residents about how they need to open that up. I think, if anything, maybe we kind of open that gateway with regards to this motion. So I fully support that. And I also want to make sure that I thank my fellow commissioners yes. and all the committee for the hard work they do on this. This is something that we have developed, that we incorporated years ago, and it just keeps getting better and better, I think.
Thank you. So now we need to vote on the amendment first. And all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Now we need to vote on the main motion as amended. So all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
And Leslie, thank you for all of your work. That takes a lot to put together those binders. Yes.
Just very quickly, I'm sorry. How many people apply? I mean, were there other people or other agencies that just didn't make the grade? I'm
yeah.
assuming.
We had 23.
23 okay. applications.
And we are funding 12.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. This brings us to the Motive Power Marine lease. And again, this is the second reading. And I'd like to call on Gloria Fletcher.
Good afternoon. I'm Gloria Fletcher with the Real Estate Office, here to request authorization for the Executive Director or his designee to enter into a three-year lease with Motive Power Marine, LLC, for the premises located at 401 Alexander Avenue, Tacoma, Washington. This is the second reading of the lease. I was here April 11th. A little bit of background, Motive Power has been on this premises since 2017. They're currently employing 21 folks, steel welders, pipe fitters, laborers, painters, and scaffolding. They've requested to convert their month-to-month lease to a three-year lease term beginning June 1st, 2023. This will allow them to make some investments into their business. This is the picture on the left is showing the general location out at our early business center. The second picture shows some of the work that they do. This is what their lease premises looks like. There's a lot of colors there, but primarily it is a yard space lease. That's what all the blue is. And then they have a small office presence and a warehouse. Their lease terms. 3.5 acres of yard space, includes a boat ramp, small office space. They haul and launch vessels. They do upland vessel inspection, repair, maintenance, and deconstruction. The proposed lease commencement date is June 1st, 2023. 3 years with 2 additional 3-year extensions upon mutual approval between us and them. Current rent is $32,545.40 a month with an annual escalation based on consumer price index. Just a couple of notes. When I was here before, one of the questions from Commissioner Meyer was on our Exhibit D, talking about requiring them for all equipment purchases to be zero emission. I did talk to Motive Power about that. And they're open, of course. They're a green certified company, and they will do that in every case where they can, but committing to it in the lease is problematic because not all of the equipment that they may need going forward is available in that format, and there's also an issue with power supply out there. So they were reluctant to actually commit to that, and I think those are those probably should be ongoing conversations we have with all the tenants out there so that we can continue to meet those requirements. So again, the action before you is to authorize the executive director or his designee to enter into a 3-year lease with Motive Power Marine LLC for the premises located at 401 Alexander Avenue, Tacoma, Washington.
Thank you.
Happy to answer any questions.
Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Kristen Ng, or Commissioner Ng moved, and then Commissioner Marzano seconded. Thank you. Any discussion? Commissioner Meyer?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the follow-up on that question. I guess what I really struggle with these leases. Now, I realize this is only it's a 3-year lease with a couple of options. And I guess while I appreciate their perception about committing to something that they may or may not be able to actually get the equipment they need, but that's probably something that could come up because you have mutual approval on the 2-3-year extensions. I think the more you need to talk with them about our desire to move in that direction, the more honest you're going to be. Because, you know, 9 years from now, folks, we're all trying to move towards a better environment. And that, to me, is one of the very fundamental frustrations I've had as a commissioner is when we sign on these leases. This one is not as long as a lot of the other leases, but we're not speaking to the issue. And that's unacceptable to me. But I think the good news here is it's on a mutual approval basis. So as we go through the first 3 years and see where the industry is, and we've got the ability to at least convey to them what our direction is and being clear about that. So I'll be voting yes on this, but with the expectation that they know where we're coming from.
Thank you.
Any other comments? I think so, Gloria, as we move toward this, just like we're doing with shore power and plugging in vessels and things like that, it's hard for us to require vessels to plug in when we don't have the infrastructure. So I think as a port, we need to be constantly thinking if we're going to be requiring that as a landlord, we also need to be providing the infrastructure for that sort of thing too. And I think if we take a look at electrification, it's just not the only zero emission technology mm-hmm. that's out there. It could be if we were to require hydrogen fuel sources, you need to also have availability for that. You just can't require it without them being able to get that. So just I think in the future, and those are good conversations to have as well.
Absolutely.
Any other comments? Okay, all of those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, passes unanimously. This is next, the Port Maritime Center and Maritime 253 Skill Center. And I'd like to call on Stan Ryder and Rob Healy.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. We're here for the Port Maritime Center and Maritime 253 Skills Center project authorization. I'll get right to the ask here. The ask is to request project authorization in the amount $1,500,000 for a total authorized amount of $1,800,000 for work associated with the Maritime Skills Center and Port Maritime Center. Master identification number 101549.01. So I'm the overall project manager on this effort, but Rob Healy is going to present this ask because it has to do with the environmental and cultural work.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Rob Healy for the record. I work in the environmental department. I'm the environmental project manager for this project. And this authorization is really specific to conducting some evaluations, site assessment evaluations on parcels 94 and 92 in support of the Port of Tacoma School District future progressive design efforts to build a maritime center out there, including the Port of Tacoma's plans to build a maritime center. And this supports the Port of Tacoma's strategic plan, foundational goals of environmental leadership, and community connections, particularly around relations with the Puyallup tribe. So next slide, can you advance for me?
Absolutely.
So just to orient everyone, the parcel 94 is to the right side of the Wheeler Osgood. This photograph, we're looking towards downtown Tacoma and the Thea Foss. Parcel 92 is on the left side of the Wheeler Osgood. And we've owned these properties since the mid-2000s, and we will be conducting the site assessment on these. So let's go to the next slide. There's been a lot of activity on the Maritime Center 253 concept at the commission level for a couple of years now. There's been an equal amount of activity at the staff level. Commissioner, or Executive Director Johnson provided an executive authorization back in 2001 to kick the project off. We've applied for and been authorized an integrated planning grant by the Department of Ecology. And we kicked off our conversations with the Puyallup tribe in February of 2022. And that's when we really began to understand the importance of the area of parcels 24, or parcels 94 and 92 to the Puyallup tribe. So next slide. So these figures come from our cultural resources investigation paper study report that we commissioned from Willamette CRA. The parcels intersect with two former islands back in the day before Western or European settlement. The Puyallup River actually discharged into the Thea Foss, used to be called the city waterway at one point. And it was a very important area for the Puyallup tribe. Let's go to the next slide. And there's been over 100 years of industrial use of these properties. This is probably in the heyday of its most active industrial use. But parcel 94 was first occupied in the late 1800s by the Wheeler Osgood Door and Sash Company. That's where it got its name from. And it continued in that use for many, many years. In 1948, it was the Norwood Plywood and Door Operations Company. And then parcel 92 was owned by the railroad. Part of it is still owned by the railroad. They've sold it off in pieces. And we own both properties. So there's lots of history here. We've been learning that history as we go. So let's go to the next slide. So when we purchased the properties, we did our due diligence, which is good. And we have some information from that. So parcel 94, we suspect is contaminated. And parcel 92, we know has petroleum contamination. And the Wheeler Osgood, of course, is part of the Commencement Bay Superfund site. There's an environmental cap, subtitle cap, in that waterway. So there's some use restrictions there that we have to keep in mind. Let's continue on. So we've had a number of meetings with the Puyallup Tribe Cultural Resources staff to develop a plan jointly together. We are going to be conducting cultural resource investigations and environmental investigations on both parcels. We're going to work closely with the tribe as we do this. And we also have some funding in this ask to support legal counsel to help with the design build contracting as we move forward with our partnership with the Tacoma School District. The slide on the table on the right provides the cost estimating information for reference. I won't go into a lot of the details, but we're going to be putting a lot of holes in the ground out there. Let's go to the next slide. We've selected a different type of drilling method than we typically do. This is a sonic rig, the picture on the right. It gives a 6-inch diameter boring, continuous soil boring. We're gonna push each boring down to 20 feet below ground surface with the idea that we wanna really understand the contacts of the old island forms. We wanna know where those islands really were. Right now we understand them based on fairly old maps, so this effort should help us understand that better. We will be able to take cultural resource samples along the way and environmental samples along the way.
So this is the best technology for the job, but it is, again, more expensive than we typically would do for this kind of effort. Let's go to the next slide. So this is our draft. This is from our draft work plan for Parcel 94. We're going to be conducting this sampling in two phases. Phase one is really going to focus on environmental conditions. Where is there contamination? Where is the contamination? And hopefully define some of the extent of the contamination. Those are the purple dots. They're centered on a 90-meter grid basis. And then the second phase of work is geared more towards cultural resources. The yellow grid is a 30-meter grid spacing. We are going to do that on the landforms off of the boot. And then inside the boot is still to be determined how dense we need to go. But the idea of phasing it is we're going to understand where any contamination is. We're going to understand if we run into cultural resources, we'll be able to potentially go back and bound the contamination, and then continue to have conversations with the tribe between phase one and phase two to make any modifications to the plan along the way. So let's go to the next slide. So same concept for parcel 92, 90-meter grid target on the phase one, 30-meter grid on the phase two outside of the island, and then this is showing a 15-meter grid spacing on the inside of the island. But again, that's going to be determined based on what we find on phase one. And next, so this is the schedule. We are going to be conducting the phase one work in a couple of weeks, and then we'll be going back in July to do the phase two work. And then if we do run into any contamination, we'll have to come up with some cleanup action planning and do that. And then at some point soon, we're going to be getting a progressive design team to help us. We'll be able to hand this information to them. They'll understand the constraints and the encumbrances on the property and then begin the planning effort. And then, so the total estimated cost for the site assessment work is $1.5 million. The total cost for the project right now is $38 million. That is for the port's share of the development. It's a budget number, and it will be updated as we learn more about encumbrances on the property. Next slide. Permitting, we're gonna be doing this sampling work under our current programmatic permits. Construction will have to fall under other permits depending on the scope of the work. And then with regards to remediation, this is a very thorough and thoughtful evaluation of these properties. We will understand the conditions of the properties and be able to plan appropriately. Next slide. So next steps, complete the site assessment work, understand if we need any cleanup planning, understand the cultural constraints on the properties. We'll be selecting a design build team here in the coming months. We'll work with that team to develop a public involvement process and master planning for the site, and then future negotiations of a new interlocal agreement with the Tacoma School District. And then finally, additional requests to commission for further authorization. With that, I'll hand it back to you, Stan.
Thanks very much, Rob. So today's request is a request project authorization in the amount of $1,500,000 for a total authorized amount of $1,800,000 for work associated with the Maritime Skills Center and Port Maritime Center. That's master identification number 101549.01.
Thank you. I need a motion and a second.
Also move as this has been stated. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. So any questions? Yes, Commissioner Meyer.
Yeah, thank you. Could you, I think Rob, could you go back to the next steps, please? One of the things that I think is missing on the next steps is public participation plan. And the reason I say that is that when you look at the application that Tacoma School District sent to the state, on page four of that application, it says they were looking at limited public participation, and, or stakeholder, I think they called it stakeholder. That's not where I'm coming from on this site. I see this site as having multiple use, requires a public participation plan that, as a commission, I think it's in our best interest to have wide stakeholder participation as a way to increase not only the informational piece of this, but to recognize the importance that this facility can play in our not just for the port, but a broader community. So I think it's missing, and Eric, I hope that you build a budget around that. That to me is important, because I'm not certain what the comment by the Tacoma School District really means, but I will suggest to you, it's unacceptable to me that you're gonna limit stakeholder input. That's not a priority that I can accept. So that to me is very, very important. So I think what's missing on the next step is a public participation plan for this site.
Yeah, thanks for your comments, Commissioner Meyer. We weren't happy with that language either, and we're having a meeting about that with Tacoma Public Schools tomorrow. So we agree that we'll need to add public involvement.
Yeah, I don't know, Felicia, you have something to comment on, or?
Yes, for the record, Elisa Praskovich, Chief of Special Projects and Commission Relations. What I brought with me today is the ILA that the commission approved, establishing the relationship to move forward with this project. And we made careful note in the ILA itself that the port's obligations, specifically in the ILA, state that the port will commit to a public and stakeholder engagement process in the design and development of the campus to ensure that public elements are incorporated. And further on, in item 7 in the ILA, we re-emphasize that commitment to public engagement. So we were very clear and out in the public, of course, about that commitment to public engagement, and that will be an essential piece that is carefully evaluate when the RFQ is issued and competitors start to bid. Those design bid teams that come in, their experience, their skills, their tested ability to engage the public in their projects is an essential part of that selection process.
And I guess what I'm fearful of here is designing something before we have public engagement. That to me is I don't want to get too far ahead of public participation. That's all. That's my comment on that.
Commissioner McCarthy?
I appreciate that concern. Just by way of comment, I think the Tacoma School District has a really good history of public participation. And so I'm just speculating, maybe the terminology used is there are different levels. You know, we've all seen the sub-area planning process, which is public participation to the ninth degree at a great expense and for a long period of time. And so it could just be a matter of gradation. And so my knowledge of the Tacoma Public Schools is their process is very, very extensive. So, and I really don't want to get bogged down in something that's too extensive. But just a comment.
Commissioner Ng?
First of all, I would really like to thank all your work that went into this, as well as the communications. I really appreciate this project with regards to Tacoma Public Schools in collaboration with the tribe, and realized that we are gonna dig through a lot of history while we build this future. And in some cases, to realize the immensity of this moment, of what we're really building for our community, and the challenges that I'm welcoming, because I know that we have a really great team, and just to know your place in history because of what's gonna happen with this particular project and how that really will affect the Port of Tacoma, as well as all the other expansions that we're thinking about. But this will likely be the most complex challenge that we have this year besides all the terminals, but it will actually affect everything else that we do on the tide flats, and how much our community will really appreciate all the work that you will put into this particular project. And I'll realize it's not gonna go easy, but I know that we have the best, the experts to do and make this happen. So I just wanted to thank you ahead of time.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just very quickly, I fully support this project. And I like the fact that the Puyallup tribe is going to be working with us hand in hand as we move forward. I think it's critically important, based on the history of that property, that their representatives are there, and I like the fact that we're working so closely together on that, so.
Thank you. And for me, could you go back to one of the slides, that overview slides? Not necessarily with all of the, where the borings are going to be, but just the properties. Yes, right there. I had the opportunity 2 weeks ago to be invited to jump on the fireboat Defiance, and they took me over to take a look at the Trident vessel that had burned the other day. Mm-hmm. And in that process of going all the way over there, we had a conversation about an incident response team. And just, and this is later on as we start the planning process and public engagement and all of that, but I think that our Maritime Center would be conducive to being able to house an incident response center that includes Tacoma Fire as well as the police department. And I also mentioned this at the sub-area planning process, and all the governmental entities were really excited about that too, jointly working on something like that. And even the guys who were in the boat said it would just be nice to have a place where we could put our gear, you know, a central location for their marine division, but having it located on the tide flats would be exceptional. And also you can see right there, there's some water access where a dock could be placed, great place for a fireboat to tie up to, so, or a harbor police, anything like that. But just a thought for the future to be considering. Thank you. Any other comments? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you very much. I want to talk a little bit about the financial. There's $38 million that's programmed in I don't know what year it is, but my major concern, Eric, is we got a big hole in our budget. I think the harbor maintenance tax, as I remember, was $20 million or something of that nature. So, you know, this is a pretty big item that we're putting out there in the community. I just want to make certain we got the cash flow to support it. So, because we're not, to my knowledge, this commission hasn't really looked at the big hole in our budget. And maybe we need to have a little bit of a briefing on that. I just don't want to mislead the public out there for $38 million that we're solid on $38 million or whatever that number is.
Fair point. Yep.
Great, thank you. Okay, any other comments? So all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item we have is resolution 2023-06-PT, and that's forklift surplus. And could I please call in Rick Atkinson?
Afternoon, commissioners. I'm Rick Atkinson. I'm the director of equipment maintenance, and we're gonna thank you for letting me brief this afternoon. So we're requesting the approval of resolution 2023-06-PT to declare the surplus of port property and to authorize the executive director to sell or dispose of the surplus property. Port staff determined that the forklift should be declared surplus and allowed for disposal or sale. The master policy indicates that if an individual piece of property has an estimated value of over $10,000, then this action requires commission approval. The estimated value of the forklift, including spare parts, is $60,000. Asset 10196, the 2004 Wiggins, is a 36,000 pound forklift that has forks that were modified shortly after it was purchased. We have no record of the modification or that any certification was done after the modification was made. The forks do not meet minimum measurements to be serviceable, and the safety committee has red tagged the lift, and we are not able to safely put the lift back in service unless we repair it. The current value of the forklift and spares, as I said before, is $60,000, and the cost to purchase the new forks is $50,000. So with the fork replacement cost being so high, the minimal hours that it has been used in the last year, and that is a tier zero emissions engine, it's not justifiable to repair the lift to put it back into service. Operations has been short-term leasing when there's a need for a lift of this size. Our plan in the future is the research replacing the lifts with a like it with an electric model to be in compliance with the Northwest Clean Air Strategy and local regulations. Below is the list of spare parts that we have for this. All the parts are valued at $5,543.96, and they will be included in the surplus when we sell off the machine. Here's some of the photographs. Is there any questions or discussion?
Let's call for a motion and a second first, please.
So moved to surplus this forklift.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion?
Second.
Any discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just a quick question. How's it going to be sold?
We have to auction it off, so it'll go on GovDeals. So and it's open to the public for is there anyone that has an account.
Okay. My only request is if I could just get a note as to how, I'm curious as to who purchased it and how much it sold for.
Our purchasing department, once it sells, we'll be able to provide you that information.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Ng.
I was curious with regards to our equipment and our own policy about zero emission technology in our equipment. Do we have a percentage of which ones are which tiers, as well as which ones are just zero emission?
I don't have a true number for you at this point, but when we're looking for new equipment, we're looking at tier zero, hybrid, electric technology, stuff like everything that we are buying new, we're looking for those options at this point. And we have been for the past couple of years.
Great, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Next, we have spreader bay door replacement authorization.
How you doing?
Also again, Rick.
Yep, I'm back again. Three times today. So, okay, so this is the spreader bay door replacement. Move on. I'm asking for a request authorization in the amount of $370,000 for spreader bay door replacement. The Port Tacoma spreader bay door has curtain style doors that are failing and need to be replaced. So the new doors are $315,000. And then the labor for retrofitting is $55,000 for a total of $370,000 for the project. So the background here is the Port Tacoma equipment maintenance team needs to replace the defective curtain style doors to our spreader bay maintenance area with high speed fold up door design for large openings. This is our primary repair area for the spreaders and where the technicians perform welding, painting, and electrical repairs. The current doors only cover one side of the spreader bay, and the bay door has two major openings. Rain and wind gusts into the bay area and damage electrical components when the equipment is open for repair, and painting is difficult in those conditions. And this is all part of our preventive maintenance and plans. So not alone with the spreaders, it's a part of the preventive maintenance that we'll be repairing on those, but replacing these doors is also a preventive maintenance actual improvement for the building itself. This setup does not effectively keep the elements in the cold temperature out, which makes it difficult to preheat the metal when welding in the winter due to the area not being heated properly. The current curtain doors are difficult to close in the wind and present a safety issue. And I can explain that more in the pictures here coming up. The new doors will seal off the area from the elements and allow for more efficient repairs, getting the equipment back to the customer in a timely manner. So this is the current door in its closed position. It's very difficult to close and doesn't keep the rain and wind and temperature out. It's basically like exactly what it says, it's just a big curtain. And this end isn't even closed. So when the wind whips in, it takes that curtain and blows it out too. So it kind of flops around. We've got it secured the best possible, but it's not a very good design at this point. and the proposal will include closing off this end also. So this is the type of proposed roll-up door we would have. It's also the same type of doors that we have on the other two strad bays that are right next to it also. Here's our financial impact, showing the breakdown that gets us to the $370,000. And that concludes my presentation on this.
Thank you. I need a motion and a second.
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 Thank you. Any discussion? Commissioner Meyer.
Yeah, it sounds like you need it. So
yes, sir. Looks like you need it too.
So I'm going to vote in favor of this.
When I saw that picture of the door, I thought it was a car wash.
Yeah, it's a very old design, and we've been waiting for a couple of years to upgrade this, and we had it approved. There wasn't money in the budget until now, so we're really looking forward to fixing this. And I also like to thank Joe Caldwell, our project manager. He did a lot of work on getting all this together and everything today. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Oh, Commissioner Marzullo. Yeah,
just very quickly, I want to touch on what Commissioner Meyer said. I've been down there and I've seen some of the workers in the middle of the winter down there working. And if you would want to say if they need it, just ask those guys. Yeah. I guarantee it.
I'm sure. Okay, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So you get to sit down just for a couple minutes. So. So now we're at special order of business, and I don't have any slated at this time. And is there any new business that's suggested? Okay, moving on. We have committee reports. Audit committee, I think Commissioner Marzano and I'll kind of start this out, or do you want to go ahead?
Sure. You know, one of the things, just thank you, that you always want to hear when you step into an audit report is it's been a clean audit. You see no findings whatsoever and stuff. And I want to thank Darren and the entire staff that does all the work in there, making sure that we're within our guidelines within the RCW. And like I said, it's always good to hear. I have no news.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have such a great team. Thank you. Appreciate that. I know Eric Johnson's oversight also. You make sure that that stays, yeah, that we stay nice and clean. So. The next one is the Tide Flats Area Subplan Committee, and that's Commissioner Marzano and myself. We had Commissioner Marzano, you want to start out with that? And
I'll let you start it out.
Okay. I think we met a couple of weeks ago, and Stephen Atkinson and the City of Tacoma, the mayor, convened the meeting with all the five municipal governments talking about their process and their plan. It's, as you heard, I think Commissioner Meyer talking about and Commissioner McCarthy talking about the long process, and it's still going to be a long process. They're anticipating getting something to the planning, their planning staff, and also the City Council sometime by the end of the year, the 1st of January. They did indicate that they were going to make sure that the container port element is listed within there. Commissioner Marzano, are there some other things that you
No,
heard
I just
as well?
I just want to second the thing with regard to the container port element. They accepted, you know, and that's part of that whole plan, so it was critically important for us. I know that.
I think one thing that the public needs to know is also once they finalize this, that it becomes a policy under which they will go back through and do land use regulations to that policy. So this is going to be something that'll be finished probably long after I'm not on this earth anymore, I guess, the way that it's going. It just seems to be taking such a long time. But it sounds like at least the policy piece of that should unfold, when we haven't seen any elements of that yet. And do you remember, Dick, if they said when they would have something in particular for us to look at?
No, I really don't. I don't know if Matthew's still in here, but or maybe Sean. Pardon?
What was the question?
So the question was, did they identify when they were planning to have something before us that was concrete to review?
Sean Egan, Government Affairs Director. I don't think they have given us an exact date. I think to your earlier comments, their hope is to have pieces coming together fallish to ultimately, again, start running it through this formal city process, the adoption process, late this year into early next year. So there's been some preliminary ideas and drafts being circulated. I know we've shared that. Right now, it's more outline than anything else. And we're having some constructive conversations on that staff level. But it's, again, it's very high level at the moment. But as we move along and we get more language, we'll keep sharing that with y'all.
Great, thank you.
Can I mention one other thing? Another concern that I know we have is the budget itself. And part of it was the time element. And when we asked questions with regards to that, I don't think we got a real response yet. But I'm very concerned with the fact that because of how much time it's taking, that they're going to be looking at coming back for more funds. And that's something internally we're going to have to all put our heads around and start asking, you know, why.
Yes. Commissioner Meyer.
Thank you, Commissioner Marzano, because that was the very item I wanted to ask about. Because when we first started this process, you know, they had a pretty healthy budget. And I realized things, because of other things that we didn't control, may cause this to be a lot longer. But the reality is money to deliverables, to me, is a very important. And please, if there was any emphasis I would have going forward, please match that up so you got a realistic scenario, because I am concerned about this. It's kind of a bittersweet. The sweet part is I thought, well, if the money's run out, then they got to stop the process. So maybe it'll end. But my concern though is that all of a sudden now we're going to ask for more money and more time. And, you know, we got to be realistic about it. But I've always been worried about deliverables and the budget. And I think, Eric, you know exactly what we're talking about here. Because very early on, I think it was you spotted the whole idea that the money was going out the door faster than the deliverables or the outcomes were expected. There was a mismatch, even beginning at the beginning. So thank you for looking at that issue.
And I also think, and Sean, maybe you can, I know you can't get away, right? Maybe you can address this, but I did hear Deirdre Wilson talk about the fact that when she gets invoices, she wants to know specifically what was addressed within those and what kind of work. It's not just a, hey, we did X amount of hours, but again, talking about deliverables as well. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Only in those general terms, this has been a great partnership between the planning and the government and community affairs departments. Deirdre has really been doing yeoman's work and has been managing a lot of this day-to-day stuff. So I want to give compliments to her in that regard. You're right, staff has been hammering the question of the budget for a long time with the city. Again, Deirdre is asking those questions. I think we could certainly provide you with maybe an updated memo or something like that. Just kind of talk about the finances and give you a little bit more information, because I must admit I don't have direct visibility to that, but we can certainly get that for you. And like I said, and I think you raised the point, Deirdre's like, okay, you're billing us. What have you done? Yeah. So we'll get you some more information on that.
Commissioner McCarthy.
You just to echo this conversation, I think, you know, the city has controlled the pace and the direction, and so they bear the responsibility of that. Because quite frankly, it was in December of 1921 that they adopted a resolution after a lot of work by the city council and a subcommittee with regard to non-interim regulations. And the wise thing to do would have been able to take that work and move forward to the other areas that weren't addressed, including transportation. Instead, they chose the direction to start the process, essentially, despite all the work that was done and the adoption by the council, they wanted to go the route of doing the whole thing. So I think, I hope, if there needs to be work, that they come up with the funds for that. But they're the one that have set the pace that's delayed this.
And I think it's also important to note that our general counsel, Heather Burgess, is really keeping close track on all of this. And her her expertise in real estate and in all these matters is, I mean, we really greatly appreciate you and your counsel with regard to this. It's been invaluable. Do you want to speak to that as well?
Oh, no, I was just going to say thank you. We have quite a bit to go, so.
Yes, yeah.
It's a journey. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Next one is workforce development. And Leslie, I did get your notes on this so that we can speak to it. We missed it last time, so, and I apologize for that. I know that we had commissioners asking about, you know, hey, what's going on? And I'll just read through Leslie's bulleted notes. And so some of the background is a part of the workforce development strategic plan was to execute an RFP of $100,000 for the establishment of a contract with a service provider to provide youth with career pathways, training through paid internships or work experiences in the areas of the building trades, manufacturing trades, maritime and logistics trades, and the environment. That workforce development RFP was released for proposals on February 3rd with a deadline to submit on March 3rd, 2023. The port solicitation garnered only one response. After the contract committee's review of the one proposal, the Workforce Development Strategic Plan Committee, which includes Commissioners Keller and Ng, met to discuss the proposal as it proposed to train and place 10 youth in internships over a one-year period of the contract, with 70% of the funds going to the expenses associated with standing up the placement program and 30% of the finances to the youth. And I think I want to be more specific about that. They wanted to use $70,000 to hire one person to oversee the program and then 30% to go to actual training. Administrative internships. The committee made the recommendation to contracts to cancel the procurement and asked staff to reach out to some of the organizations the port thought would apply to the RFP, but did not, to gather additional information which could better inform us before we could consider reissuing the RFP. The workforce development staff has now met with five different organizations which it thought would have bid on the RFP and has gathered some feedback. So these are the quotes. There was some confusion by the language in the RFP regarding what was meant by internships or paid work experiences. To some organizations, these meant the same thing, and we received input that perhaps our language could be made broader to include other types of training programs which lead to job placement. Another one was very few Pierce County organizations would be able to execute the recruiting and placement of interns without standing up a new program, and thus would incur heavy administrative costs. So this was good input for the committee to look at and consider what goals we want to accomplish with this RFP prior to rewrite and reissue perhaps later in the year. Anyone have any questions? Yes, Commissioner Meyer.
Thank you. I think the whole idea here is, given the small amount of money that we would be, it could serve as an adjunct to an existing program, would make a lot of sense to me. So I'm glad we've taken this feedback. I'm glad you've taken the step of pulling back and reassessing. And I encourage the idea of maybe take that feedback and redesign it. So I know there's a need out there. It's just a question of how do you structure in such a way we can get the biggest value for our investment.
Yes.
So very good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you to the team. You've done a great job. Tribal Liaisons Committee, and that's Commissioners Ng and Marzano, and I believe we have a presentation. Is that correct? Or is it this?
That's for you.
Oh, it's for us.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if we have a presentation, just an updated meeting. We met with the Puyallup Tribe Council for the first time in quite some time. And we had brought a program with talking about our environmental development, but also our economic development, what we're doing. Well, one of the things that the chairman announced is that their head of their economic development was excused because they just had a baby, so he was on leave. So their main concern was what was talked about today, parcel 94 and 92, and things of that nature. So we had a real good conversation. One of the things the chairman emphasized, I thought, was on several occasions. First of all, he starts off, said, I want you to know I don't have an attorney in here. We don't have an attorney. This is strictly a conversation. We don't have an attorney. And he must have said that three or four times. I basically said, we do have one. It's my fellow commissioner, but we're not here for that. And it was really a good conversation. We left the conversation after our economic team kind of gave a overview of what 94 and 92 parcels were going to be doing, something we had today. But the chairman emphasized the fact that this is going to be the first of many meetings. We think we should be about every other month. I think it was talking about just giving an update about what's happening, not with what we're doing, but also what they're doing. One of the things that was mentioned too is the dedication of the Wapato Creek and have naming rights that they could do. He mentioned that he is in the process of commissioning what he called the Watchman, I believe it was.
It was the Watchman carving.
That yes, I'll let you go ahead with that.
Oh, sure. They are very excited about Lower Wapato Creek, and we're just waiting for this particular carving to be completed before having the celebration. And they love the project. They love the Lower Wapato Creek project. I thought the consultation went very well. It opened up with the chairman, Starrett, talking about meeting every 2 months, and we definitely welcomed that. I would say that, you know, we finally can be much more open with regards to our project here and in collaboration with the tribe, with Parcel 92 and 94. I think we wanted to be mutually supportive of each other's maritime projects, which I thought was also great. I thought they really liked the name Rob Healy. When we brought up environmental, yeah, they were like, Healy. I was like, healer of the land. So we should always bring Rob. they like that last name. And the fact that he cleans up the Port of Tacoma. Yeah.
Great. Any questions for the committee?
That's not the name they're going to give.
Healy Creek. Commissioner Meyer.
I just want to say, Commissioner Rosano and Eng, thank you very much for your participation on a very, very important relationship. But the one question I do have is that I hope we can encourage a two-way conversation. One of the things that I remember here, we recently submitted a letter of support for a project on the Blair Waterway. In fact, it was a terminal. So I hope that if you didn't talk about that in terms of their overall game plan, that at some point in time, we have the ability to talk about, you know, that project, because it's not just port projects that we need a good two-way communication here. And that to me is a very significant item. You know, some of us remember, as Commissioner McCarthy might, there were a lot of expectations in terms of that tribal land on that side of the waterway being redeveloped into a maritime terminal. And so I know we've been supportive. Thank you, Eric, for that. As well as others, but I just want to make certain it's a good two-way conversation. This is an important project for our community. I know it's very important to the tribe, obviously, but it's also important to our broader community. So thank you again for your efforts.
Just to echo that, thank you for your work on this. It's extremely important because the tribal council, they're very strong individuals, they're good leaders, and they are a top-down organization. So they need to hear information directly from our leadership, from our commissioners, good news, as well as those things we need to work on. So appreciate your efforts there. And the more we can tell that council that they're kind of hearing the first time from us, as opposed to from their staff, I think the better the relationship will develop. So thank you.
If I could add something, because Commissioner Meyer touched about it a little bit. As you all know, we received a letter from them in a short period of time with regards to the support for a grant application they had. One of the things we conveyed to them is that we would support that in them supporting the grant that we're applying for. They said yes. And we gave them a little bit of a thing that letter was first sent to the Northwest Seaport Alliance when it should have been sent to the Port of Tacoma. I said, we got it kind of at short notice, even though we supported it. It's just better to keep those communications a little bit more. And with regards to the terminal, I'm sure the next conversation when Matt, who's the head of their development, is there, we can get more involved with those conversations because they are important
there.
Anything else? Eric Johnson, did you want to say anything?
No, I'll just echo the comments that the Commissioners Ang and Marzina made. It was a good consultation. And I think to Commissioner McCarthy's point, 95% to 98% of the communication from our side was from the two commissioners. It was led by Commissioners Ang and Marzano. It was not a staff-driven consultation. It was a commissioner-driven consultation. We were really there for questions.
Without attorneys, technically.
Yeah, without attorneys, that's right. Yeah. So it was good, and we'll be following up, because in some ways the most important part of the entire discussion was the chairman's suggestion that we meet frequently. So.
Good. Thank you both for doing that. Anything else? Are there any other committee reports? Okay. That moves us into issue briefings, and get to call on Rick again. Come on up on preventative maintenance program update.
If I could, just personal privilege, I have to leave at 1:30.
Okay.
And I want to make certain Rick knows I'm not mad, Rick.
So, I'm used to people walking out on me. It's okay. I'm in maintenance.
Thank
everybody
you.
Leaves.
Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, this is for the preventive maintenance plan. You guys asked for some background on this. So the preventive maintenance plan briefing is this commission requested a briefing and recommendation course of action on the current Port of Tacoma preventive maintenance plan for its assets. So synopsis, the Port of Tacoma's preventive maintenance program for building assets supports implementation of the following 2021-2026 strategic plan goals. Invest in assets that support a living wage job creation through Pierce County, provide continued solid port financial success and fiduciary performance. That word almost got me. Protect the public's investment by maintaining existing assets and then positioning them for future growth. So a briefing agenda. So I'm gonna give a background on the PM program. PM facilities program scope for the Seaport Alliance and the Port of Tacoma, recommend a way ahead and the next steps. So here's the background. So the port's equipment and facilities maintenance departments maintain 3,322 assets performing 2,064 preventive maintenance actions at different intervals. Facilities maintains 1,868 assets with 1,184 PMs, and equipment maintains 1,454 assets with 880 PMs. This includes 20 port-owned buildings that are currently leased. The following slides show completed PMs for 2022. And note with these PM numbers that will vary due to assets being added and removed throughout the year. So as we surplus something out, we get something new, the numbers change, and we add in PMs for those or remove them. So this is a snapshot of our metrics page. Things to note on this, is for both equipment and facilities departments for their PM rates. And the red and green you see here are basically, it shows that we're meeting all of our targets that we set forward for all of our metrics. This breaks it out just for the equipment department. And again, I'm meeting, for my department, we're meeting everything. Whoops. And then, yes, for the facilities department. I know that says equipment, but it should say facilities. And they're meeting all their targets also. For the Seaport Alliance Building PM program, it conducts annual inspections on all buildings for port maintenance staff and prepares a report that is shared with its tenants using the maintenance matrix. Items within each building are identified and ranked as good, fair, and poor. Items identified as poor have an expectation to either be repaired or a repair plan submitted within 30 days that will verify completed by port maintenance and Seaport Alliance management. The lack of a formal annual inspection program has created extensive repairs that could have been caught early and addressed as minor at that time, saving both costs and time of repair. An annual inspection program collaboratively managed by real estate and the facilities maintenance staff will identify capital needs that can be identified and budgeted to help preserve the assets. An annual inspection coupled with a consistent presence throughout the year by port staff might identify damage caused by tenants that would need to be addressed in a timely manner and hold them accountable for the damage. The recommended way ahead is for us to adopt, the Port of Tacoma to adopt a similar program that's in place for the Seaport Alliance building assets, update the Port of Tacoma tenant matrix to include annual inspection columns, update Maximo and other PM systems to track and monitor the progress, and we reform do annual reporting. And that concludes my briefing.
Great, thank you. Commissioner McCarthy, you have a question?
I did, you.
I saw you, your finger on the button there.
First of all, I don't know how you got the short straw, but three presentations in May.
I volunteered. Well, I volunteered, it's just easy, I was here.
All right, thanks for coming and we want to see more of you. But, and I know just you're the director of the equipment maintenance part of things, and Pat Patterson, kind of facility maintenance, is that how you divide the work up, or?
Yes, but we work very closely with each other, so we actually sit kind of back to back.
Sure.
He knows what's going on in my department, and I know what's going on in him, so he
Great.
Happens to be at a conference this week, that's why he's not here.
The issue that we've had some discussions about recently are kind of building asset maintenance, and I know Gloria needs buildings that are in great shape that she can go out and lease, and you know, we've had some situations in recent years where some of our older buildings, and we have a lot of older ones, that the maintenance has been deferred on some of them. And so your looking ahead program in terms of Northwest NWSA building assets, I assume those are kind of some of the older buildings I'm talking about on terminal type facilities. Is that a good assumption or not?
Actually, this will be for all. So
yeah.
We'll go back and we'll be inspecting whether it's, I mean, we don't have any brand new buildings, but
right.
for the most part, but we're going to be inspecting annually all facilities.
Great.
So that way, even the newer ones won't turn into the older ones like we have. And then we'll be able to go through and fix all these issues, hopefully,
Great.
And be able to have them able to lease.
Let me just say, I welcome that. It's because sometimes those things that are deferred, we know what they can add up to down the road, and we've seen a couple of things in the near past. So I welcome that work, and I look forward to seeing you in the future on that topic. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just very quickly, thank you very much for all this. One of the things you mentioned here, when you look at buildings are different, that you're fair to poor. And I want to make sure that because it's fair, we're not looking at waiting until it gets to be poor. You know, I mean, maybe there's things that we can do from the fair to keep it above fair. You know, am I making myself any sense
yeah,
in that?
Yeah. Totally understand. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, well, it's everything's going to be taken into consideration. It's just at that point is whether there's someone in there whether we can repair it at that time, or it's something that we have to wait until the building's vacant, or we have, you know, we can work through with real estate getting, our plan maintenance wise is we want to fix everything. I mean,
yeah.
we want, but it comes down to whether we're able to at that time through, if whether it's in the budget or stuff like that and everything. But yeah, it's whether it's fair, poor, good, you know, poor, we want to fix it. It's, I don't want to, we're renting something out that we want to be 100% serviceable at all times.
Right, and I'd much rather hear as a commissioner of coming to us to say we need to spend $150,000 than waiting 6 months saying now we need to spend $500,000. So,
yes, sir. I agree.
And I'm talking about roofs more than anything else because that seemed to be the catch-all at the one mm-hmm. time. Thank you, Rick.
No worries.
Great. Thank you so much for all your work.
All right.
Okay, now I'd like to call on Heather Burgess and Erin Galeno. Just Heather, okay.
I think it's just me, right, Erin? Thanks, Commissioner Keller. The last item between you and I suppose the door at this point, whether that's good or bad, is a discussion of an annual review of three resolutions that are the commission's resolutions. Your bylaws, which we review annually per the clause in the bylaws that says you do that, your code of conduct resolution, which was adopted last year, which this would be its first iteration of review. And the third is annual review of the master policy resolution, which largely addresses delegated authority to the executive director. You were provided redline versions with an explanatory memo in your Friday packets, I believe of April the 21st. And there's sort of minor amendments proposed to the bylaws and the code of conduct, more substantive amendments, largely tied to the delegation of authority limits in the master policy. So I don't know what Commissioner Keller's preference is in terms of how you want to proceed through these. I'm here to entertain your feedback so that at our next meeting on May the 23rd, I can bring you back final versions of the any amended resolutions for you to act on.
Thank you, Heather. Heather's question for me was, do we want to have a committee to review these three items? Or would you prefer to have Heather bring forward recommended changes that she looked at? So they're the commission's resolutions, and I entertain your feedback on this. Any thoughts? Commissioner McCarthy.
I just had a chance to just talk briefly to Heather before the meeting, but I think committee work is never a bad idea. I think when we adopted particularly the governance and conduct issue over a year ago, we've been talking about for three years now, a staff ethics code, if you will, and we've continually heard that, you know, there's a whole series of policies, but that haven't been integrated into one document. And so, and when I've asked about that, I'm not hearing that that's going any further than it is. So that's something I think maybe a committee could look at. I've been involved in some of the master policy discussions in the past, and the amendments that I see here, I don't think are objectionable. I have, with regard to your draft code of conduct for port commissioners, I objected to this and voted against it. I thought it was deficient. I think you've done some correction, which is good, but it's still fundamentally flawed in terms of what happens in terms of investigation. It still gives authority to fellow port commissioners to make decisions. And the trouble with a process and system of that sort is that it could be that people are motivated by anger or for whatever reason make a decision that really belongs to an independent objective evaluator. So I think the process that you've identified, I think this was adopted a little bit too quickly last time, quite frankly, and I oppose that. I think the process that you've identified needs to be improved over where it is. So those are my comments, more on the substance of it. Whether a committee's formed or not, I leave that up to the body, but those are my comments on that.
Thanks, Commissioner McCarthy.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, I agree with Commissioner McCarthy with regards to a committee. I think it would be best to work together with Heather with regards to moving forward on this. One of the questions I had on this, I know we're going from, there was a recommendation from 300,000 to 350,000 with regard, and I don't oppose that. I just want to know, what was the date that we started the 300,000? I mean, how many years ago was it? That's the only question I have. I don't know.
I believe we traced it back to at least 2009.
Okay, thank you.
And I think to address Commissioner McCarthy, and just remembering as we went through this process with the code of governance, that it's very difficult to blend it into and integrate it into something, because the staff already has policies. If you remember, we're elected by the public, the voters. They have the final say. There's really nothing other to do. The only question that I have is, you know, obviously we can authorize an independent third party person, but that becomes public. And it's not a bad thing to do, but the the body here has to be able to vote as an action item. It becomes part of public record and all, and things like that. So I just think it's a thought process. Maybe we can come back to this, think about how you want to handle that. We don't have to answer that today because I know you need to leave, and I just want to make sure you have good input with all of that with regard to this. So if we could have everyone think about that a little bit more, and then we can come back and maybe put it into an action item, you know, creating a committee or something like that. So
I'm sorry, Commissioner, just to make sure I understand, is correct. That just to review the code of conduct and governance, or is that for all three resolutions?
She wanted to know, do we want to get a committee that, you know, potentially reviews all three, or just the code of conduct
right. Is the governance? Committee reviewing just conduct and governance, or also your bylaw amendment, which was just a change to the minutes and the master policy resolution? I just wanted clarity about what we bring back to you for an action.
Understand.
Myself, I didn't see any objection to the changes that you've done with the bylaw or master policy upon a close review. So I know we took a hard look at all of that a few years back. So from my own perspective, I'm not sure that needs to be part of committee work. But the other ethics issues, commission, staff, conduct issues, I think is something that could be appropriate for committee review.
Yeah, I would take a look at more of the commission code of conduct, just a discussion about that, because I think we seem to be in agreement about raising the 300 to 350, as well as the easy bylaw changes.
So it sounds like just yep. The code of governance.
So then the action I'd bring back to you at your next meeting this month would be the bylaws resolution and the master policy resolution to accept those changes. And then you want an action at that time to establish a committee to review
yes.
And identify members, because that would be an ad hoc committee. It's not a standing committee under your bylaws, so you'd need to authorize it and then identify who the members of that committee would be.
Correct.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
And unlike the chair, we do have a lawyer present. And thank you.
Thank goodness we do.
Well, I don't have some help in that regard up there, too. So thank you very much. I really appreciate the commission's attention on these things. Thanks so much.
Thanks for staying on them, too. We appreciate that.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Ang, do you have any announcements?
I guess I just wanted to make my commissioners and everyone else aware about the America's Competitiveness Exchange that has happened mid-May, May 14th through the 18th. Pierce County Day is happening on May 17th, Wednesday, in which there will be a boat tour as well. And the delegates, which will come from all around the Americas, from Brazil, Panama, Ecuador. These are foreign ministers, economic development executives, as well as company executives, including a representation from the U.S. Department of Commerce, Economic Development Administration, all the like, will be visiting Pierce County, specifically our Tide Flats. But they'll also be visiting other parts of the county, from Kitsap to King County. They'll be visiting Amazon and such to see what we're doing in terms of economic development. But also, this is an opportunity to showcase our area and ways that they could do business with us, as well as invest here.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Marzano?
Just wanted to, I said this earlier at one of the before the Lions meeting, but congratulate Patty Rose, who's a Pierce County Central Labor Council's Secretary Treasurer, on her retirement. She was recognized by a lot of different entities. She's given the key to the city for Port of Tacoma proclamation from Pierce County Council, along with Congressman Perry Kilmer, who made a proclamation in the U.S. Congress just for her hard work and all the years that she put together.
Great, thank you. And I also wanted to let everyone know, lastly, that I'm on the board of the Youth Marine Foundation, and we had a retreat the other day on the Doolin Rogers for 6 hours, which was great, and I got to talk with a lot of the kids. The program is so unique. Sea Scouts is a totally different thing. They have their own curriculum, but the curriculum that they're designing with the Youth Marine Foundation actually gives sea time to kids for their maritime credentials. It's in addition to seat time, and because they have that vessel, they can offer, you know, C hours to get accreditation and certification, and that's not something that's offered anywhere else. So we're really fortunate to have that program and to have that vessel. That vessel was great. So was excited, in addition to getting the Golden Spade Award, and I couldn't be there because I was taking my boat into the and through the locks that day, but I was sad to have to miss that, but the lock masters were nice, so that was all good. But at any rate, with no business further for the commission, we stand adjourned. Thank you.